A new report says Illinois needs comprehensive guidelines when it comes to dealing with sexual misconduct cases in K-12 schools. Wendy Pollack heads the Women's Law and Policy Initiative of the Sargent Shriver National Center on Poverty Law and wrote the report. Illinois Newsroom's Rachel Otwell spoke with Pollack to learn more about her findings.
What's important is to be clear to students and parents and guardians and faculty what the school will do. The point is that there needs to be clear, transparent, written policies so everybody understands what the process is, what the procedure is, how the students' information will be handled in a confidential manner. This is a problem throughout the state. We know that, and that's what this report addresses. It's not just the Chicago Public Schools problem. It's throughout the state. And what our report showed, we had focus groups and one-on-one interviews with both students and service providers and some in-school social workers around the state, in every part of the state. And this is a problem. And the lack of these written policies, lack of any kind of real protocol, that when a school actually did an okay job, it was more because there was just someone in the know, kind of a luck of the draw kind of thing, not because there was policies and protocols in place that would really protect the students.
And we're hearing on the federal level about proposed changes to Title IX implementation. Title IX is meant to prevent gender discrimination in schools, including primary and high schools, which actually ends up meaning a lot of different things. Any thoughts on how those possible changes could affect what we're talking about?
The proposed regulations are not good. They really roll back some of the protections that the survivors have now. So, for example, schools wouldn't be obligated to really do anything for students if the violence happened off campus. And the reality is, while there's unfortunately a large number of on-campus incidents, the majority of incidents actually happen off campus. If you're talking about the college level, you could have something happen at a frat party between students and the school doesn't have responsibility. So there's lots of things in the proposed regulations that are really not good. So what I would hope is that here in Illinois and in other states that we step up and not let those kinds of things happen, because the reality is whether or not the violence lives up to any kind of legal definition to prove a case in court, the reality is this incident happened. The survivor is often traumatized and needs help both in terms of counseling and in terms of being able to stay in school and complete their education successfully.
I'm Rachel Otwell, and I'm speaking with Wendy Pollack, who heads the Women's Law and Policy Initiative of the Sargent Shriver National Center on Poverty Law in Chicago. She helped author a report just out that details the accounts of students in K-12 schools in Illinois who have dealt with sexual harassment and assault. She suggested I also call up Elisa Hill, now a student at Northern Illinois University. Hill says she went to a Chicago high school and had an inappropriate experience with a teacher during her time there. We're going to listen now to some more of what she had to say.
I was in his office by myself. I think we were discussing my detention. At the time, I was working at a restaurant in a suburb outside of Chicago. And I knew I couldn't serve the detention because I needed to go to work. So I indicated to him that, is there any way that I can serve this detention another day? I really can't afford to miss work. He began to question my work. And, he told me, I want to come to your job. I want to see you. I want you to serve me. I don't live too far from there. What is your number? I was just shocked at this was taking place.
Hill says she went to an administrator with other female students who had said the teacher had been inappropriate with them, and within days, he was gone from the school. But Hill says no one followed up with her, and she was worried he might come after her.
I really just want to know, where is he, and how can I, as a survivor, move on from this knowing that proper decisions were made to ensure that this person won't ever do this destruction again?
Hill says the experience has inspired her to be an advocate for sexual harassment and abuse survivors. And so back to the report, it mentions what's happened in the wake of Me Too, a movement that some would say is still ongoing, and how this has created more public conversations and policies in some cases addressing sexual violence. But you talk about the lack of attention when it comes to children.
There's a lot of challenges when it comes to children and youth. So that's why we have focused for so many years on elementary and secondary students, because there's never been much attention paid to that group. This is a problem that's existed probably forever. Even with the Me Too movement, and we're talking about adults, there's a lot of victim blaming and there's a lot of just not believing people. And I think that that is exasperated for children and youth.
And so the report identifies a few themes in particular that I take it were reoccurring issues that came up in your interviews. One had to do with confidentiality. Tell us about your findings regarding that.
I mean, this is a real problem, and it really will discourage anybody from coming forward. I mean, the students have stories from they're aware that teachers are talking about it amongst themselves, and it becomes obvious. You know, we even had an example of teachers coming up to a student asking her how she was. You know, for those who pay attention of what's happened at the Chicago schools, they have now set up this hotline for people to report, you know, gender-based violence, and they had 600 reports, and people were like, wow, there's 600 reports. There's more than 600 schools in Chicago Public Schools. I mean, that's like less than one call per school. To me, there should be thousands more. So if you have a system where survivors feel comfortable coming forward, they'll come forward. And now what we have to see is if the system they build is really something that will protect the students' confidentiality, really be a help to them and not a hindrance to their educational development. For gender-based violence survivors, we often talk about safety plans. What students need are safety plans plus education plans. So, you know, we've called them in the past student success plans. It's like, what is needed to keep someone safe? So if it's making sure they're not in the same class, what I've seen, particularly in smaller, more rural areas and smaller towns, is a lot of what I call involuntary homeschooling going on, which means that the parents felt like they had no choice but to take their child out of school because the school administrators were just not doing anything. They felt that their child's safety was at risk. And I remember even talking to a parent who had to take not just the survivor, the student had been sexually assaulted out of school, but had to take her siblings out of school too because they were being bullied because of what was going on. I think there needs to be more leeway in transferring schools. That's often difficult in, you know, more rural areas of the state, but there has to be a way to make sure that the survivors can stay in school and be safe.